Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Have enough. Come on, be honest. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm worried about that. Things like financial things. Wondered if you had enough. Check it out. There's a list of them right there. There you go. Have you ever wondered if you have what it takes? If you're smart enough, talented enough, got enough credit, got enough faith? Enough money to pay your bills? Yeah. I've worried about that in the past. We'll share a story a little bit later about that. So here's the answer. Don't consider what you don't have. Consider God's provision. Consider God's grace. It is enough. God wants to help you at every turn of your life. Here's the key. Call on Him. You're not on your own. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Oh, yeah. Let's look at what we do have. Go back to one. There you go. Let's look at what we do have. Y'all go ahead and list them for me. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, grace, blessing, favor, life, provision, armor, adoption, and a hotline to heaven. You might say, now where in the Bible does it say we have a hotline? That's just what I'm calling it. That's right. It's part of your armor. As Brian taught us, prayer is a part of your armor. Yeah. So, now we all know the Hebrews complained, and when it's explained over in the book of Hebrews why they died, Paul said it was because they complained. They didn't have any faith to enter. They were griping the whole time they were out there in the desert because what? They didn't have enough. What if we don't have enough water, food, protection from the sun? Even though God promised they would make it, they had their doubts. And who did they blame while they were out there in the desert? Moses. Yeah. Hey, you got us into this. Now, what'd you do? Bring us out here to kill us? I mean, now and then they voted whether to throw Moses out, throw him back in the river where he came from. Yeah. All right. Well, remember the sun that went on his own? We call him the prodigal son. I've always said we ought to name this little parable the prodigal father, because prodigal means lavishness, extravagant. The father's love and acceptance was extravagant. But the son, he lacked nothing while he was at home. He lacked nothing. He had everything. You know? And then finally, when he returned to his father, came to his senses, returned to his father said, hey, everything I have is yours. Did you know that's your heavenly father? Yeah. When you're worried, when you're concerned, when you're fearful, just check with God, and God's going to tell you, everything I've got is yours. The windows of heaven are open. There's blessings galore up here. They have your name on it. Just call on me, and I will answer you. That's what it says in Jeremiah. Call on me, and I will answer thee. And show you great and mighty things. Thank you. Yet that you know us not. So, yeah, you don't know everything, but they're there. Things that you don't even know, God has for you. How about Moses? Did he have enough? When God said, you're going to be my boy to deliver the slaves from Egypt, did Moses say, I'm your man? Huh? He didn't say that? Well, Moses was saying, hey, I'm a nobody. Matter of fact, I'm a wanted fugitive. And look, I can't even talk. It's hard for me to express myself. You want me to lead? And God's going, hey, I'm going to give you everything you need. Yeah. Moses, you have enough. But look, all I've got is this stick in my hand. God says, okay, throw it down. Remember when he did that in front of Pharaoh? It became a snake. So that stick was powerful when it was in the hand of faith, when it was in the hand of provision, when God was using that raised hand and that stick. Moses had enough. How about little David? Did he have enough? Well, he couldn't go up against Goliath. He was twice his size. How could David defeat him? Well, he had enough. God's going, now it doesn't exactly say this, but I could just picture God saying, hey, David, don't forget the skill you already have. You have enough to take care of this giant. What could that be? How can I go? You got a sling and you've got a rock and you're good at that. So David had enough. How about Gideon? Did he have enough? Well, not according to Gideon. You know, when God approached Gideon, Gideon said what? Hey, I'm the least in my family. I don't have any ability. I don't have any credentials. I don't have any experience. I can't lead this army into battle. And what did God say? He didn't say exactly these words, but I'm making it fit my talk here. Gideon, you have enough. If I am your supply, you have enough. And God called Gideon what? Y'all remember? Called him a mighty man of valor. He's going, you're a hero, Gideon. You got what it takes. I do? Yes. And if God says that about you, you know what? That's true. Don't argue with God like a lot of people in the Bible did. They argued with God when he told them that they were able and that they were well able. Let's go back one. Oh, the widow. Remember the story of the widow of Zarephath? Yeah, that Elijah found. And actually, what the word says is that God told Elijah, I have prepared for you a widow. And he didn't really know too much, but he went to Zarephath, found the widow. And it's kind of like, hey, God sent me here because you're going to feed me. I mean, that's all I can figure out. That's why God sent me here, to help you, for you to help me. So the widow said, no, I can't help you. I don't have enough. Did she have enough, folks? Well, in the natural, she didn't. In the supernatural, she did. Yeah. Matter of fact, it was so bad, she said, we were just planning on me and my son eating our last meal, and then we're going to die. So that's pretty bad. Can you imagine company coming over to your house? Hey, you got a tuna fish sandwich? Got anything for us to eat? No. Actually, we only have one meal left, and then we're going to die. So I guess that means you're not fixing anything. Well, Elijah said, hey, go ahead and fix that for me. You know what's amazing? She could have said, get out of here. I've just got enough for us. No, she fixed him some. And of course, then you know the story. He said, go and get all the jars you can, fill them up with oil, and so on and so on. And she found as many as she could, and she poured some oil in, kept on pouring out. All the jars were filled up, and that was expensive oil, and she used that to sell to get food. So God provided. She did have enough when she responded to God and responded to the prophet in faith. Now, be making applications to this to your life as well as we go along. The next one. Matthew 15:33. The disciples said to Jesus, where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? You know, it's probably one of those moments again where Jesus said, how long have I been with you? And you still don't recognize the ability that we have when God gets involved on our behalf. That's grace. God getting involved with provision on your behalf. That's the grace of God. So remember what Jesus did? He blessed it. He thanked God for it and blessed it, broke it. And they started passing out to the disciples. The disciples started passing it down the rows. Was it enough? Was it more than enough? Well, that's a miracle. Well, they didn't expect a miracle. They were just saying, where are we going to go to get some food? So here you go. you have enough faith. Have you ever complained a little bit or confessed to God, I don't think I've got enough faith for this one. My faith just is not there. But Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be cast up, be taken up, cast into the sea, it will be done. Wow. That seems like faith on this level right up here, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of the end, the mature faith. Somebody that's just been standing on God's word for years, then you could do it. No. No, you just, the miracle is in your mouth. You say to the mountain. And I'm sure the disciples said, you know, we don't have that much faith. And Jesus said, hey, if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, yeah, you can do this. So Jesus was always blowing his disciples' minds on his teachings on faith and what they were actually capable of when they didn't think they had enough. What does God say? You have enough. So how about enough for Paul? Did Paul have enough? Oh, wow. He certainly did. He comforted Paul when he was suffering. We're not exactly sure what he was suffering from, but he called on God, and God said, my grace is sufficient. So another way of saying that is, my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient. My grace will get the job done. My grace is your supply. My grace is your supply. And then he went on to teach, sent a letter to the Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians over in chapters 8 and 9 when he was talking to them about he was taking up an offering for the saints in Jerusalem and he was asking the churches to contribute. Well, he started bragging on them. He said, you know what? You guys actually gave more than you had. You didn't really have this much, but yet you dug down deep and you came up with money that you really didn't have. You could have said, we don't have enough. We don't have that much. We're not rich. But he said, you came up with the money and you did have enough because it was grace giving. So just consider that when you put some money in the offering plate at the church, send a donation to something need, a needy ministry. God's going to take care of that. You sow the seed, he'll take care of the increase and he will bless you for it. You'll never lose what you give away. All right, here we go. So was there a time in your life when God showed up? Start thinking. When God showed up with his provision. Every one of you could tell a story. When David was sick, I'm talking about, 2 years old, Becky? Yeah. We needed money because we weren't ready for a hospital expense. And I don't remember if we even had insurance back then, but there we knew, this is going to be expensive, but we've got to take him to the hospital. We needed money real bad. So we didn't know. We're just praying. God, we have this need. Well, just a few days later, Becky was vacuuming, and she was vacuuming under the bed, and she bumped into something. She looked under there. She reached. Back then, she could get down and look under the bed. Now she tells me to do it. She, what's that under the bed? She reached it, and it was a roll of money. A roll of money. I don't know how much it was. Do you remember? Several hundred dollars. It's what we needed. And to this day, she says, Steve, did you put that there? I said, why would I stick money, a roll of money under the bed? I would at least put it through the mattress or something, you know. No, I didn't do that. We don't know, folks. It has to be in the miracle category. Yep. But did we have enough? No. But was there enough? Yes. We had enough. When we built our house, and as y'all have seen, if you've been at our house, it's a very nice house. I thought I thought I could build that house for $150,000, and that's all we borrowed. And if you go back to the bank and said, we've run out of money, we need some more, no. You've got to completely reapply for the loan and everything. That's just, you're starting over. So I said, okay, we're going to see if we can make this. And I even had to sell a car that I had in order to clear out the front yard, to kind of have a front yard. It had a bunch of thorns and things like that. And so, I mean, we were down to absolutely nothing. And Becky said, you know what? We might have to sell this house before we even move into it. So we didn't know how. We were saying we don't have enough to do this. Plus, on top of our house payment, this is how dumb we were. We didn't realize we were going to have to pay taxes on it too. Yeah. And it turned out it was something like $6,000 a year for taxes. Well, we hadn't counted on that either. So we had a little prayer. We had a little come to Jesus meeting, you might call it. And we said, God, if you will keep the house payments up, if you'll keep us up, this is your house. It's going to be a house of ministry, and we're going to go as long as we can. Just, if you'll keep it up. Well, guess what, folks? I don't know how we did this, but it was God's provision. Within 5 years, 6 years, we paid the house off. Paid it completely off. So God provided. Yeah. And He continues to provide. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. And God's taking care of the taxes too. Yeah. There's always something there. There's money that comes through our bank account that many times we don't even know how it got there. And, so anyway, it's amazing. It's probably more amazing than we realize. Even than we realize, it's more amazing. Yeah. Well, here we go. Next one. Oh, yeah. Call on El Shaddai. He's the God of plenty. He's the God of provision. Don't you dare complain about what you don't have. God is not reluctant or withholding His blessings. Here's the good news. God's grace is God's provision. It is enough for any situation in life. Have you ever had more month at the end of your bills? Yeah. Okay. Hey, call on God. You got to access this. That's the key. You've got to access. And how you access? Faith in what God has said. Lord, your word says, so I'm going to stand on it. Next one, nothing to eat. That's the title of this little slide. A missionary friend of mine told the story of a missionary he knew. So this is not like something I heard. It is secondhand, but it was from a firsthand source who knew this. Missionary friend in China who lived in a remote part of China, way out in the country, like 50 miles. I mean, it's like nobody came to their house. So here he is with his family, and the father gathers the family around the table, and there's nothing on the table. And he says to his family, let's give thanks for the food. So they had a little prayer, held hands, gave thanks for the food. As soon as he finished giving thanks for the food, there was a knock on the door. He went and opened the door, and there was a huge plate of food. I get emotional when I tell that story. A huge plate of food. He looks around. There's nobody there. God's provision. Can you imagine an angel with that assignment? He says, oh, this is going to be fun. It wasn't the pizza guy. They don't deliver out there. Oh, it's just amazing what God will do. Yeah, just make that declaration. When you have a need, instead of saying, we don't have anything. No. We have enough because God is our provider. So here's the key. What God says is true and applicable. So say what God says about your situation and about who you are in Christ. Declare that, not how you feel. Don't tell Him you don't have enough. Don't complain even for your lack of faith. Just say, nope, I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. Your word says, there you go. Faith is your responsibility, not God's. You speak to the mountain. So, he provides the seed, you sow it. He gives more grace. That's what he told Paul, gives more grace. And you have enough faith, use it. Ephesians 3:20, you all know this verse very well. I know it from another translation. The one I have memorized is exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That's what God will do. Yeah. And we have a little song, exceeding abundantly above all we ask. Remember that one? Anybody? Huh? Brian? That's what my God will do. Anyway. He will do, I like it. He will do far more abundantly. You know why? We have a far out God. So he'll do more than you ask or think according to the power that's working in you. All right. So y'all ready for the prayer of declaration? So we're just going to claim it. We're going to tell God we do have enough. Here we go. If you'd like to pray it with me. God, when I feel inadequate, insufficient, alone, weak, or can't go on, I'm going to remind myself that you are God, my provider, who meets my needs and leads me in triumph because your love never fails. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. It's my favorite part of the talks, and it's your favorite part of the lesson too, the conclusion. Okay, now, we try to have a little fun and games. The big one is on the fifth, when it's the fifth Wednesday. This is just the fourth Wednesday. So I have a little, well, we'll do the prayer afterwards. Yeah, we'll do the prayer afterwards. Okay. Here's what I call some cartoon trivia. It's because how many of you ever watched cartoons when you were growing up? All right. So I think you'll know some of this, and some of you may not know because I had to look some of these up. But it's kind of interesting. On the cartoon Mutt and Jeff, who was the tall one? It was Mutt. Mm-hmm. Doesn't Mutt just sound like a tall guy? Who loved hamburgers on Popeye? All right, yes. Yogi Bear's sidekick? Boo Boo. All right. Where did they live? Jellystone Park. Foghorn Leghorn's little buddy. Oh, not so fast now, are you? Henry. Yeah, Henry was his name. Henry Hawk. Yeah, he was a chicken hawk. And he didn't know that Foghorn was a chicken. He thought he was like some other species. Okay, Donald Duck's girlfriend. Daisy. And his nephews. All right. And who said thuffering thuckatash? Sylvester, yeah. These are too easy, aren't they? But it's kind of fun to remember those. Who said, I think I taw a putty tat? Tweety. Okay, what character was always shooting his guns in the air? Yeah. All right. What did Yosemite Sam often say? Yeah. No, that was Elmer. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of things that he said. But one of them, take that, you dag-nabbed varmint. I'm the rootin'est, tootin'est, good. She's tired this side of Negro's. Hey, were you the voice of, you sound like you were the voice. What did Elmer Fudd wear on his head? Huh? Yep, hunter's cap with flaps. Remember that? So what did Elmer Fudd often say? Yeah, what else? I'm going hunting for wabbits. And then he'd say, I've got to be very, very quiet. Okay, Three Stooges' movie career lasted from what year to what year? I mean, if you're in the ballpark, I'm going to count it. All right, so when do you think they started? The Three Stooges in their movie career. 1948? 32? All right, and this is actually the big prize. I mean, this is what, You know, none of those others counted. This is the big prize. Ah, looks like I'm going to keep it myself. Put it back in my billfold. No. They actually started in 1922. And it went on until 19 when? When was their movie career over, or they were done, didn't make any more short movies or anything? What? 60? 50s? Guinea? Nope. Oh, keeping my money. Ah. It was actually 1970. Yeah, 1970 was their last film. And what was the name of the Three Stooges? Yeah. Good. There was actually one other one that played the part of Curly and Shemp, because there was Shemp first, then Curly, and who was the last one? Curly Joe. All right. So that means there were six Stooges in all. Yeah. All right. So what? Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Well, no, maybe I'm not. But Shemp and Mo were brothers. Shemp and Mo were brothers. No, didn't. I don't think so. Well, check it out. Okay. What was Mo's real name? I didn't know. I don't expect you to know. I'm just kind of Moses Horwitz. Yeah, kind of get where he gets Mo from then. Okay, what was Larry Fine's real name? Louis Feinberg. All right. How many different Stooges we did that? So the comedy duo of Laurel and Hardy were played by who? Stanley Laurel and Oliver Hardy. Okay. Was that their real names? Huh? Oh, man, I had a really big... Yeah, had a $100 bill for that one. Yeah, somebody ought to say, yes, it was their real names. 50-50 chance. Come on, you could have won. Yes, that is their real names. Stanley Law. See, we got to doing with the names that were not the real ones. That was their real names. Oh, it said what? Curly was too?
Yes.
Well, they don't look like. Shemp, I could see Shemp and Mo look just alike. Just a different hairdo.
Well, Curly was the big fat one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And what was the little dance that Curly would do and he'd get on the floor and go in circles?
Curly Shuffle.
Curly Shuffle. Okay. So, now back to Laurel and Hardy. Can you sing their theme song? Huh? Barbara? Bob. Yeah, everybody knows that. Okay, it actually has a name by a composer, wrote it. It's called Dance of the Cuckoos, which is another name for Wise and Wonderful. No, I'm just kidding. The Cuckoos. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay, so I get to keep my $100. Yeah, all right. Okay, y'all. Simmer down. We're going to have a prayer for our prayer.